Welcome to the Hank Haney Podcast, a production of iHeartRadio. Welcome to the Hank Haney Podcast, a production of iHeartRadio.
Three, two, one. Welcome to the Hank Haney Podcast, Friday Strong, Saturday Strong combination podcast with Tim, Minnesota Tim Porochka, Steve Johnson here. And Tim, I've got a new headset on me. Can you hear me fine here, Tim?
Yes, Steve, you sound fantastic. And let me just simply put it this way. I don't think you've ever looked better in your entire life today.
Okay. Well, we're usually on the Squadcast or the Zoom, folks, but my computer's had some problems. I've got the audio going, but no video. So, Timmy, I can do whatever I want, and Tim can't even see me. So
Yeah. So quit flicking me off, Steve. Yeah. Stop it.
I don't do that. You know what? I'm dedicated today, because it is Byron Nelson week, I'm dedicated today to going just golf. No sophomoric, which the guy that emailed me said that a lot of the stuff that I say is sophomoric, whatever that means. It's inappropriate. I said some things last week I regret, as usual, but we'll move on.
Yeah, do you want to apologize to the audience, Steve?
Yes. So, no apologies. I did the best I could. Wasn't very good, but I did the best I could. Let's talk about the Byron Nelson, AT&T Byron Nelson. Byron Nelson had a home. And we lived here in North Texas. He had a ranch, and you know, it's very well documented that Byron Nelson was a guy that would he win 13 straight tournaments. He had a classified 4F for the military back in the day. Everyone else went off to war, but Byron Nelson was there was some physical issue that he could not, and he was playing in the golf tournaments, dominating golf tournaments. I met him a few times, Tim. I met him late in his life. Very nice man. Very tall man, believe it or not. For back in the day, I mean, Ben Hogan is small, and a lot of the guys that were dominating golf were small guys. Gene Sarazen was a small guy. But Byron Nelson was well over 6 feet. And this sounds cliche, but he was a prince of a guy. He really was. Always signing autographs. And he was the big reason that this tournament here in Dallas was such a success. For many years, it was the number one donor to charities of all the PGA Tour events. That's long gone now. I mean, we got Phoenix that has 250,000 people on Saturday. They still do a good job here, the Salesmanship Club here in Dallas, Texas, for their charity to help young, underprivileged boys and girls. But the Four Seasons TPC was their home for many years. Players didn't like it. When Byron Nelson died, the schedule started changing, and it didn't really fit into a lot of the top players' schedules. A lot of the players played the tournament out of respect for Byron Nelson, and Byron Nelson would be there on the weekends thanking everyone for coming. It was a neat scene. We remember back in the day, some time ago, a young 16-year-old boy got an exemption into this tournament and ended up coming in 16th place in this professional PGA tournament. And that would have been Jordan Spieth. That is the best finish he's ever had in that tournament, Timmy.
Wow.
The Byron Nelson, when he was 16 years old, he tied for 16th. He missed his graduation, a Jesuit college prep, but I mean, you know, to be honest, would you rather be playing in the Byron Nelson final round or second round or first round and miss your graduation? Absolutely. Who wouldn't? So
right.
He did. He had all the it's an all boys school, had all the guys out there, all the guys in his class and from the school out there cheering him on. And we're going to talk about Jordan Spieth a little bit, because he had a great first round, didn't he?
Yeah, he did play really well. He shot 9 under par. Also with J.J. Spahn. J.J. Spahn also shot 9 under par. Both shot 63, so a par 72 golf course. I mean, what Spieth has been doing in the last few weeks on the PGA Tour since the Waste Management Phoenix Open has been absolutely remarkable. When you look at his finishes prior to the Waste Management Phoenix Open, miscut, tied for 38th, tied for 41st, miscut, tied for 46th, miscut in the Farmers. And then the Waste Management Phoenix Open starts. Tied for 4th there. Tied for 3rd at Pebble Beach. Tied for 15th at the Genesis, which isn't great, but it's definitely not horrible by any means. Tied for 4th in the Arnold Palmer Invitational. 48th in the Players, okay. Tied for 9th in the Match Play. A win in the Valero Texas Open. And a tied for 3rd in the Masters. They ran a statistic on the television yesterday. Now, it's from the television guy, so who knows how accurate it is. But they said that Jordan, since the Waste Management Phoenix Open, is first or second in approach shots to the green. And now for the year, he's 21st in approach shots to the green. So, Steve, my question for you, is Jordan Spieth back?
Certainly appears to be back, Tim. He's looking good. He's hit 15 of 18 greens yesterday. Now, we need to talk about this course, too, but after we talk a little bit about the benefits of watching a Jordan Spieth. 15 of 18 greens, pretty damn good. It's a type of course that, now, did he hit it? Was his proximity close? It didn't look like it. Did you see the last hole, the 18th hole? Jordan Spieth knocks it up there in 2 and has a 50-something foot putt.
55-footer.
Over. I mean, I've been on that green. That green, the television really couldn't give you the right perspective, but that is a severe level change from where he was putting to where the pin was. And he rolled that thing in. It was going perfect speed. He had perfect read. It was like a quadruple breaker. And he aces it, makes eagle on that last hole to tie JJ Spahn. I do think he's back. I think that's what's unique about golf and about these players. Once they find something, Tim, the confidence comes back. Now, when they get the pressure gets turned up, and we'll see this on the weekend, can Jordan Spieth finish when the pressure gets on, when the significance of the shots, although the shot that he hit when he started his tee off yesterday on the first hole is just as significant as the 72nd hole. But the consequences, he's so far away from the victory when he tees off on Thursday. The significance of the shots on Sunday afternoon are far greater. And we'll see if he can pull it off, because you know what? Sometimes skeletons in the closet, or past memories of bad shots, or a little feeling that, oh my gosh, it's going to start happening again. You never know if a guy's can get it done.
Yeah. Jordan Spieth is just, I don't know what it is about him, but everyone loves Jordan Spieth because he isn't Rory McIlroy. He isn't Bryson DeChambeau. He doesn't drive the ball 320 yards. In his first round, he ranked, he ranked 56th in driving distance, drove it 296 yards. Spieth doesn't drive it down the middle of the fairway every time, although he did hit 11 of 14 fairways. They were showing this one hole. He was, It was somewhere on the back nine. He drove it way right, really into the rough. Well, he was kind of in a flat spot, but there was rough right in front of him, and he was trying to figure out if he could get his 3-wood on this or a hybrid, some sort of club. Colt Knowles was doing the announcing, and Colt Knowles is just absolutely great at what he does. And Spieth is talking through it with his caddy, Michael Greller, and he pulls out the 3-wood, and he says it's on him if it's not a good shot, not on Michael Greller. And he puts a great shot on the ball, puts it on the green, and it was just the most Jordan Spieth thing that you could ever see in your entire life. And average golfers love that. Golfers connect with Jordan Spieth because he doesn't hit it right down the middle. He's not the best driver of the golf ball. He's not the greatest ironer of the golf ball, but he finds a way to get it done. He finds a way to get it on the green and get it up and in, especially these last few weeks. Golf was severely missing Jordan Spieth for several years. And now that he's back, when Tiger Woods isn't on the PGA Tour, and we don't know if Tiger Woods is going to come back, Golf is strong right now. Golf is a must-watch product.
Well, let's not get carried away here, Tim.
It is.
I mean,
Steve.
I mean, it's nice to have Jordan Spieth back. Yeah, I mean, up until the Waste Management Phoenix Open, I mean, the commentators were talking about, well, you know, 2017, and he hasn't won since the Open Championship in 2017, when he took El Chipo Nogimi to task. That would be Matt Kuchar. Remember that?
Oh, I remember that.
But the thing about that shot you're talking about on number 12, where he went back and forth with his caddy, and the importance of the caddy, that hole, they didn't really show the perspective that I know that is there. There's the big creek that runs in front of that green. It's pretty gnarly over there where he was. The grass grows in clumps, like we could see. It gets pretty tight, the trees. You know, and now this is the first golf course in Dallas, Texas. I'm not talking about Fort Worth, because Fort Worth has them. But this is the first golf course in Dallas that is shown on national television that actually has trees on it. Remember, your Trinity Forest had zero trees. The TPC at Las Colinas, very few trees. It looked like, man, you guys are playing. Where are you guys playing? An old dump or something? Well, Trinity Forest was an old dump. But the thing that you don't know, Tim, that I do know, is that TPC Craig Ranch is located about 2 miles from our original golf ranch in McKinney, Texas. And we're on that same little creek. In fact, when they were building that course, the marketing material said, oh, it's a beautiful meandering blue rock creek. And Hank says, what's that? Is that same piece of crap creek that's on our property? I said, oh yeah, that's it. But it's marketing. They marketed it. And there's a lot of forced carries on that golf course. This is a perfect time, too, to play that course, because they only allowed 10,500 fans. It looked like it was pretty much dead, didn't it, when they showed it on TV? If you wanted to go watch, they probably would have turned you away. But the 10,500 people that got out there that day, it was it's a tough walk. You've got 12 bridges you got to walk across, because this meandering little Blue Rock Creek runs from the north side of the property all the way through the property to the south side. So the course looked good, though. Didn't you think the course showed well?
I thought it did as well, yes.
Yeah. The type of grasses they have there make it show really well, and the trees and all that make it, you know, make it look like. They don't make it look like Quail Hollow. Let's not from last week, but it does make it look good. It makes it look like, man, I'd love to go play that course. It's not an easy course for the amateurs, Tim, but it was very easy for those guys. And when I get back, let's take a little break here. When we get back, I'm going to tell you why it's easy for the pros and why it's not so easy for the amateurs.
Okay. All right. That's a great tease. All right, everyone. Go to HaneyUniversity.com right now to improve your golf game. Hank has daily newsletters coming out every day to help you and help wherever you need help. There's a song named Help, I Need Somebody, Help. And that's what Hank is here for you. Hank will help your golf game, whether it be the driver, short game, or putter. Go to HaneyUniversity.com. And sign up for those newsletters.
Let me add something before you sign off here and we go to our little break. Hank talks about real life problems. People call in, people email him, and you're invited to email him. How do they get in touch with Hank?
How do they get in touch with Hank?
Yeah, just through the Haney University site. I know they've got an opportunity to ask questions. But Hank reacts to questions on video that he sends to you, like Tim says, daily, every day. Right?
Yes.
And he's reacting to real life questions that you have on the golf course. So it's not, he's not talking theory. He's not talking X's and O's. He doesn't have the test tubes out. He's talking about problems that you have, common problems that he's going to help you fix right away. HaneyUniversity.com.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Hank Haney Podcast, Saturday Strong Edition, Friday Strong, Saturday Strong Combo. Tim Parachka, Steve Johnson here, And when we left him, I'd add a little tease there that this course is a course I'm very familiar with. We're talking about the TPC Craig Ranch that they're playing the AT&T Byron Nelson. And what makes a course tough, difficult for an amateur golfer is a course. Now, I mean, we don't have a lot of hills here in North Texas, but in McKinney is the highest spot in Collin County where the tournament is located. So it's always windy there. It's always, you know, there's always some kind of breeze, and you'll see the breeze come up today if you're watching the tournament this weekend. Supposed to get some thunderstorms on Sunday, but the rolling contour of the fairways is one thing that makes it more difficult for the amateur golfer. You know, you get the ball below your feet. Sometimes you get the ball above your feet. It makes it more difficult. It's not like you're standing on a driving range that's pretty much flat and getting the same conditions all the time. The conditions do change. Now, the thing that really makes it more difficult for the amateurs, and pay attention when you go to a golf course, and you're going to see and realize that this course could be tough for you when you have what we call, Tim, this is a technical term, and I may have to define it here, forced carries. So we talked about the meandering Blue Rock Creek through TPC Craig Ranch. You can't roll it through that creek, Tim. You've got to carry it over the creek. Now you add that, the creek runs through, I'm going to tell you how the first hole, the third hole, it's just on the front nine. I'm not going to take you all 18. The first, the third, the fourth, the fifth, not the sixth, the seventh, and the ninth. So out of nine holes, you've got six holes where you've got to carry over a creek in order to get to the green area, the green complex. Now, that's not the only thing. You've got elevated greens, which requires you to get the ball up in the air. So you've got the uneven lies, you've got the forced carries, you've got the elevated greens. Then you also have greenside bunkers, Tim.
Wow.
Deep greenside bunkers.
Deep.
Which you cannot roll it through those. I mean, there's some courses that we see around the greens. I know you've played them up there in the 10,000 Lakes where you hit a shot and it rolls through the bunker. Not a TPC Craig Ranch. If that ball gets in the bunker, greenside bunker, it's in there. And, you know, it's kind of hard to get in those bunkers sometimes because they don't have a defined area where you go in and out. It's a little bit sketchy. So that is why, those reasons why it is so difficult for an amateur player. Not only that, I mean, it starts out with a force carry to an elevated green and uneven lies, and then the next hole is so long, it can hit you right in the groin area before you even start. You got 16 holes to play after the first two, and man, you're reeling because it's difficult. Now,
yeah,
it wasn't difficult for these guys though. Mm. The par fives played like par fours for them. So instead of par 72, it's par 68. Bryson DeChambeau, there's a headline this morning, Tim, that Bryson DeChambeau said he played awful. He played awful. Now, what did Bryson DeChambeau shoot?
The best score anyone could possibly shoot.
What did he shoot?
69.
Okay. Ooh, okay. So he said, the reason he said he played awful is he said it should have been 9 under. Shoulda, woulda, coulda. So there's very, very seldom that you see in a tournament of this caliber, you've got 18 guys at 7 under par better after the first round.
Those comments are ridiculous. I hate it when people say, yeah, I shot 3 under par, but it should have been 9 under par. You can't just pull 6 under out of thin air. You can't just grab it out of the sky and say, yeah, I should have been 9 under par. I could easily do the same thing at a golf course that I played. You know, I shot a 94, but you know, it easily could have been an 80. You know, you just can't do that. It's stupid.
But that's a very common golf. When you're analyzing your own game, the woulda, coulda, shoulda. And remember, Hank talks about the legit woulda, coulda, shoulda is, hey, if I take out my three putts, which I shouldn't have had, if I take out my penalty shots, and there's one more. What is that last one?
Two chips.
If I take out my two chips, that is a legit woulda, coulda, shoulda. It's not, hey, the wind came up and it knocked the ball down and I got screwed by the wind. It's not that. Woulda, coulda, shoulda is two chips, penalty shots, three putts. You take those out. That was your woulda, coulda, shoulda. Let's be realistic here, you know? Bryson DeChambeau, I don't know how many three putts he had. I don't think he had any. Now, Sung Kang had a three putt. He threw his putter down on the ground, too. They got to know that he's in the feature group. It's Jordan Spieth, Scottie Scheffler, and Will Zalatoris was one of the groups. And then you had the foreign group of our Masters champion, Hideki Matsuyama, John Rahm, number three in the world, and Sung Kang, the defending champion from 2019. They haven't played this tournament in 2 years, Tim.
Crazy.
Can you believe that?
No.
2 years
can't.
It's been.
I can't
believe COVID,
it.
The COVID knocked this. It messed with the Byron, which is not good. Hey, we got to take another break, Tim.
Yeah, your email's going off. Your email's going crazy.
Or should we talk about this before? There has been an injustice done in golf.
We'll talk about that next.
Yeah, we need to address
that next. Yeah, we'll talk about it next. But I'm just trying to get past this forced carry thing. So you said you can't roll the ball through a lake or roll the ball through the bunker. I'm still trying to get my head past that idea.
Okay, let me break this down for you. I'm gonna keep it in really simple language.
Yeah, say it really slow for me.
So greenside bunkers that are shallow, that don't have huge faces on them, you can roll the ball. I've done it. You know, you hit a shot and it rolls through the bunker onto the green or on the fringe, which is good. It's not going to happen at Craig Ranch. If your ball goes into the bunker, even if it's rolling into the bunker, you hit a hot one, it's not coming out. It's not coming out. So the forced carry is a requirement that you've got to get the ball up in the air to carry over the hazard. You can't roll it through. This meandering Blue Rock Creek that they talk about, it's sunken down. It has banks. It's like a ravine. It's not like, hey, I could hit a little stone and it'll pop over the creek. This thing is a raging river, man. It's raging.
Raging.
Yes. And when we had our property just north of Craig Ranch, we dammed it up and we created a little lake, irrigation lake.
Nice.
Yeah. So the forced carry, the uneven lies. Now, one thing that makes that course a little bit easier for everybody, they have, and I want you to pronounce this with me because this is tough to pronounce, Zoysia.
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 It's not Zoysia. It's Zoysia.
Zoysia.
It's a type of grass that is a cool season grass, and that ball sits up so nice on it. The lies look like, it looks like it's sitting on a tee every time.
Yeah.
So let's say it one more time. Zoysia.
Zoysia. Okay, Zoysia is a word that sounds like what it means.
Yeah. It's a zoy in general. Zoysia.
It's a word that sounds like its definition. You know
yeah. I mean? Now they do have some, they have some great definition to the grasses out there too. They have a Bermuda grass in the rough that's called Tifton 10.
Tifton 10.
It's a real deep green. It's not gnarly like a normal 419 grass, hybrid Bermuda, but it does give a good contrast. And then the greens are obviously they're bent grass.
Zoysia.
Zoysia. That's
okay.
It.
All right. Let's take a second break. VoodooPainRelief.com right now. Go get your free 2-week supply of Voodoo Pain Relief Cream, which will take care of your aches. It'll take care of your pains. It'll take care of you. It's a patented product. And this product is unlike anything on the market. It's a free 2-week supply. Hank is offering that to all the customers, and you will reorder the product. That's most likely a guarantee. Go to voodoopainrelief.com right now. We'll be right back with the dumbest ruling in the history of golf.
Welcome back to the Hank Haney Podcast, Saturday Strong Edition with Minnesota Tim Parachka, Steve Johnson here. Week of the Byron Nelson, AT&T Byron Nelson. We're coming to you recording Friday morning early. The players are still in bed. They're Bryson DeChambeau's probably out. He's probably got the test tubes out, trying to figure out why he got screwed and only shot 69 instead of 63. But nonetheless, we're anticipating a good weekend. The weather's supposed to be great here. You want a little weather report? It's going to be sunny, 72 high today here in North Texas, Tim.
Okay,
it's nice.
Cool. Nice.
We got chance of thunderstorms on Sunday, which is a typical Byron Nelson phenomenon. On Tuesday, before we get into the biggest injustice in golf, on Tuesday, it was raining hard. It rained 2 inches on Monday, an inch on Tuesday. I got a phone call from Josh Gregory, who's a PGA Tour coach, was one of Hank's golfers at SMU. Josh Gregory, he's been on Hank's podcast before. He is a two-time winner of the NCAA championship, his team at Augusta University. Now he's coaching pros. He called me up and he says, "Hey, man, is there any way I can come out with some players?" I said, "Absolutely, come on out." Every place is closed. Even the tournament site was closed, Tim. They were closed down. No hitting.
Wow, cool.
We weren't closed, though.
Yeah.
The golf ranch was open. So I said, "Come on out." And he brought a young pro. I'd seen him on television before, recognized him. His name's Doc Redman. He's playing well this week, at least through the first round. I think he's 6 under through the first round. Doc Redman. U.S. amateur winner a few years ago.
Amazing.
Was not too impressed with his technique. Saw him hit some shots, but a very nice guy.
Yeah, cool.
And he put it together. Another guy that was out there.
Holy crap, Steve.
What?
Let's get to the story.
Well, wait a second. The biggest injustice can wait.
What did I tell you before we came back from break?
You told me you got to take a duty, is what you told me. That's what you told me.
Yeah,
right?
What did I say after that?
Yeah, let's not make this too long.
Yes.
Yeah, but the show must go on, Tim.
Okay.
The show must go on.
All right.
So anyway, another guy came out, Adam Shriver. He's been a teacher all over. He's also a touring professional teacher. He's most famous for teaching Anthony Kim. Anthony Kim, you remember him. He's retired from golf. But he brought a guy out, and this was I was embarrassed. I wasn't embarrassed till way after the fact. But he brought a touring pro out, a nice guy by the name of Sam Ryder. Sam Ryder. And I thought, oh, man. And this guy just won a couple weeks ago. He won the Valspar. And so I'd never met him before. And they said, "Hey, thanks for letting us come out. I was getting ready to take off, Tim. Are you listening here? Are you concentrating?"
Okay. I'm listening. Yep.
Okay.
Great story.
So he said, I introduced myself and I shook his hand and I said, "Hey, congratulations on your play." He said, "Thanks a lot." And I pointed to Adam and I said, did you remember him?" And he thought I meant, did I remember him with money? But I said, no. When you're on TV, do you remember him? Because as a teacher, you realize that when the players play well, no matter if you're getting paid or not, and a lot of these guys aren't getting paid, but if you help somebody, you love some recognition. That's good. That's some nice stuff. If they pay you, hey, they don't have to say anything. But if they don't pay you, you're hoping for the recognition.
Mm.
And he said, "Yeah, I did." And then I could tell he wanted me to leave, so I left. And so that evening, Tim, and this story is almost over. That evening, I thought, "Holy crap! I better not say that anymore because that's going to make you so you can't hold it."
Yeah.
But I'm not going to say that. Holy poop!
Yeah. Nice.
It wasn't Sam Ryder that won the Valspar.
No way.
It was Sam Burns.
What? Yeah. Oh.
I was embarrassed. It was embarrassing. The guy probably thought, "What in the heck is that guy asking me?
Yeah.
Did I remember him?"
Crazy.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, you're totally disinterested. I can tell you're not concentrating. Let's talk about the biggest injustice in golf. Now, I got to set this up, Tim. The collegiate ruling body, the NCAA, is trying to get just not invitations and world rankings to get teams in the finals. They have these regional tournaments. And throughout the year, teams play in tournaments and they get ranked and they get points and all that. And they get an opportunity to go to the regionals if they finish high enough in these tournaments. They compare their records to the people that they play against. Are the fields strong? Are they not strong? Where are these events being held? And so they have four regionals in men's golf and women's golf. And then the highest, I think it's the top four teams or top six teams, plus top individuals that don't make it as a team, get to go to the NCAA finals. Well, there's been regionals all over the country. There's three other ones that just got finished. But the one that we're talking about is the one down in Baton Rouge. LSU was the host school, and they had a regional championship down there, and they've gotten 7 inches of rain over the last number of days. Have you read about that, Tim?
I have, yes.
Okay. So they got all the girls together, all the women together. They're trying to figure out what they can do. You know, the show must go on. The game must go on. The competition must happen, Tim. It's got to happen. So they got all the players together, and an NCAA representative read a statement and said, although the course, this is a quote, although the course could be played, it could not be played to the caliber of the championship level that they wanted. So what would you do if that happened, Tim?
If I was a player?
If you were the decision maker. If you were the decision maker, you say, hey, you know, we've got 7 inches of rain down here. What are you going to do?
You got to let them play. This is,
yeah.
He says, this is one of the most gut-wrenching decisions and announcements that I've ever been a part of. And he just gets absolutely criticized. The NCAA has to be one of the worst organizations in all of sports. Whether it's the NCAA basketball, whether it's the NCAA golf, they seemingly make mistake after mistake after mistake. Their decision-making is awful. Like, what are you trying to protect here? What are you trying to avoid? Everyone recognizes the situation that it is. Everyone knows that it rained like crazy. Everyone knows that the golf course won't be perfect, might not be championship caliber, but it will give everyone an opportunity to play. There's not someone that's playing a soggy, wet golf course and someone that's playing a perfect golf course. These players are playing the exact same course in the exact same conditions with the exact same hole locations with the exact same sogginess. It is all the same. And to take this away from the players, the seniors specifically, that will never be able to play NCAA golf again, is absolutely ridiculous and absolutely unfair.
Yeah, I mean, I hear what you're saying. Now, the championships are going to be conducted starting on the 21st. So it's not like, okay, hey, it's rained 7 inches. Should we postpone this event? Should we postpone it so we can get it in? That's always an option. Heck, there's an LPGA event a few years ago that they played 9 holes. It was down in the Bahamas. They had a 9-hole, they played 4 rounds of 9 holes to determine the champion because they were down there. Hey, let's make the best out of it. We can. Let's make some lemonade out of lemons. The NCAA tournament's at Greyhawk Golf Club in Scottsdale, Arizona, not until May 21st, Tim. It's May, what is it, May 13th, 14th right now? They've got time. It's the 14th of May. It's Friday. They made this decision yesterday. They had plenty of time. They had a whole week. But what they did is they have a provision if an event is canceled, that it goes to the top teams, top-ranked teams and top-ranked players get asked to and invited to go to the next level. And that does not seem right.
No, it really doesn't.
So, Barstool Sports had offered to host a tournament. They didn't want to get in violation. I read that on Twitter this morning that they sent invitations to all these tournaments. They don't want the girls to get in trouble or the women to get in trouble and violate any NCAA rules. But that just that is a sock right in the gut.
Yes.
All those gals. And the girls, you can look at it on Twitter. The NCAA, it's all over the place. That someone was videoing, and a lot of people were videoing, and some girls were crying. You know, this is their last chance to go to the finals. Some say, hey, thanks a lot. Some were very verbal in their displeasure at the decision. And it's a shame.
Yeah,
it's a shame. Injustice.
Yeah, there's a lot I could say on this, but NCAA, you failed us, is what Stacey Lewis wrote. Be creative, be willing to adapt, and most importantly, let their play decide who plays for a national championship. Others said, I really didn't have anything to say to my players. That's what a Bulldog head coach said, Charlie Ewing. It's hard to be prepared for something like that, and strangely enough, you feel like you should be prepared because it's almost deja vu of what you went through 14 months ago with the season just abruptly ending and nobody being able to do anything about it. Yeah, this happened last year. Last year, COVID canceled everything, so they couldn't even play. This year, they let rain cancel it.
Yeah, but the NCAA did made a decision after last year. They gave all of the seniors another year of eligibility, gave everybody another year because that year was like a non-year. 2020 did not exist, Tim.
That's true.
In college golf.
That's true.
So
that was good by the NCAA.
Yeah, I mean, that was nice. But it just gave the opportunity of parents to pay for another year of tuition, to go for another round of student loans.
Well, they got scholarships, you know, right?
Remember, the big advertisement that the NCAA talks about is almost every one of these athletes goes pro in a different field than their sport that they played in college. Mm-hmm. So this is like the last hurrah for a lot of these gals. And sorry is all I've got to say.
Yeah.
Well, I'm so sorry.
Yeah. I don't know what my favorite part of the show was today, Steve. Your weather report, your Samuel Ryder, Sam Burns, your force carry definition, but I know what it is actually. Zoysia.
Yes. That's a grass. You'll like it. It's an emerald green grass. You'll see it on TV. And Tim, again, for our listeners, how did the last 3 years, played the Byron Nelson, TPC Las Colinas, Trinity Forest, or TPC Craig Ranch? Which is the most visually pleasing?
TPC Craig Ranch.
Yes, yeah. Very good. Up in McKinney, Texas, God's country up there.
Yeah, let's go. All right, everyone, thanks for tuning in. Follow Great Predictor at Great Predictor 1 on Twitter for any great predictions. Follow me at Tim Peroski. You can follow Hank at Hank Haney. Email the show, HankHaneyGolf@Outlook.com. Everyone, stay safe, stay healthy, enjoy the golf this weekend. The countdown to the Byron Nelson is over because it is here. Spieth is playing great. Hit bombs, make putts, leave the flag stick in.
Don't do it. Next week, we got a special guest. We've got Tim's wedding is coming up. His nuptials are coming up quickly. And next week, Tim, this is a surprise for you. Got a special guest that's going to join us on the Saturday Strong podcast. It's the Great Predictor's son, the Grant one, is going to be on the air with us and give you some advice for the nuptials.
Yes, let's go. I love it. Great. The Grant one is coming on. Okay, love it.
So continue. Hit bombs.
Make putts and leave the flag stick in because it's a statistical advantage. Bye.
The Hank Haney Podcast is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.